This is your No Show, the show about how it is that we are showing up in the world, what is going on with us, how it is that we are making all of that happen, and how it is that Spirit is working through us to bring it about, make it what it needs to be for everyone. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and I have, and along with Carrie Kelly, my associate this evening, we are so grateful to welcome our dear friend, our sister, Laurel Herman, from the Richmond, Virginia area, back to be with us to talk about the blissful chef, how it is showing up in the kitchen is a good thing, and especially for those of us of African-American descent, the kitchen was a place of love and light and goodness and grace and laughter and peace and joy. And so we are excited to get right into this thing and to know that all is well with everything that is. And because of the fact that you are here with us, Laurel Herman, we are going to jump right into it. I want to say congratulations on this day, the day that you have made the Blissful Chef available to everybody in the world. I assume that it is on all of the major spaces and places such as Amazon.com and whatever else, and you're going to tell us where it is that our listening audience can pick it up, can get it, can hear it. Can actually read it. Who knows? Listen, I'm available to do the reading of it for you if you'd like. But good evening and welcome to the show, Miss Laurel Herman. Welcome to the No Show. How are you?
I'm great, Robert. My son is messaging me right now and he wants to know the number. So can you give me the call number real quick and then I'll answer the question because he wants to. It's a 434.
No. Hold on. Here, let me give you the number for you to text to him to call in. Okay, here we go. The number is, and it's the same one that I sent to you earlier today, it's 347-838-9142. And then anyone that needs or wants to be a part of our conversation, if they would press 1, press 1, and then I will bring them into the conversation, and they can then chat with us. So again, my question to you as you go about the business of doing that, because I know that this is not your first effort in publishing. You've been on the show before talking about your other book, The Inner Kitchen. So I want to know what for you is unique about this particular book. What is it that you have learned since the last experience, and what makes this experience now different from what you had before?
Oh, thank you, Robert. This is different from anything that's ever been out there before. What I noticed, first of all, let me say that you can find The Blissed Out Chef on Amazon.com under books, just press The Blissed Out Chef, just type that in, and it'll take you right to the book. And today is actually launch day. What is different about this is what happened was a few months ago, I always worked with music, and I realized when I was working with the music that I was actually in an altered state of consciousness. And I was thinking, wow, if I'm feeling this sort of blissed out feeling, that love energy, that is going into my food. So I started working with that energy, and it's really quite amazing because the same thing happens as a creative energy, the same thing that happens when you write or you get into a creative process and you actually feel like you're in the flow and the information from source is flowing through you, not from you, but through you. And some of the information that I got, books, was just based on the 45 years that I've had in the kitchen and interpersonal relationships, how people talk to each other in the kitchen. You know, the kitchen could be a very tense place and ego flare and things like that. So you have to learn how to get along, especially when you're working in very close quarters and you're working under tremendous heat. And so, you know, you can take that into your home, and, like, for instance, families, how do spouses talk to each other in the kitchen when one of them went to the grocery store and forgot something? You know, they could be angry at each other. So, you know, things that the children hear. Do the children hear cursing and yelling and anger and rushing, or somebody getting up from the table angry? It doesn't just affect their relationship with food. It affects their relationship with relationships. And it's something
good point.
That they never
good
forget.
Point.
It's really about using music to channel that energy to get your heart space open into a place where, you know, everybody's got a song that means something to them, right? And when you're singing that song, you're thinking of whatever it is that brings back a memory. And if it's a happy memory, you're filled with love. And if you listen to that in the kitchen, that translates to, you know, to your food. You know, among all the other things and the other ways of doing it, but music is the first gateway to open up that channel of love that can flow into your foods.
Excellent. That's good. I like that a lot. And in so much as this is one of those spaces and places where we, of course, talk about spirituality, and we talk about spirituality over religiosity, and the difference between the two being that religiosity oftentimes is somewhat limiting. It usually addresses just one individual or one entity or one way of doing things, as opposed to spirituality, which is inclusive, which allows for everyone to feel and think and be whoever it is that they are, while at the same time not bothering anybody else. And so what you will always hear, as long as I am the head of the no-show, you will hear those individuals that are part of this experience talking about how their spirituality propelled them to where it is that they are. And Laurel, I know that you have some phenomenal stories to share with us about food, but stand by for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to invite those of you who are have called in at 347-838-9142 and pressed 1 to be a part of this experience to know that that is what you have to do. You have to press 1, and that then alerts us to know that we should bring you into the conversation, that you have a question and or you have a statement that you would like to make, and then we will do that. For those of you who are online and who came to us through Blog Talk Radio, we are excited about having you with us as well. If you would like to ask a question, we ask you to do the same thing. Please call us at 347-838-9142, press 1, and we will allow you to share your question or your comment. If, however, you would prefer to just type your question in there in the chat room, you may do that, and we welcome that as well. We are excited about having Laurel Herman with us, the Blissed Out Chef. So now, Laurel, what I'd like for you to do is tell me about the title, what that means. I mean, I've heard of the Blessed Chef, the blessedness of food, so forth and so on. But please share with Carrie and I what the Blissed Out Chef is and how that came about.
Oh, that's a really good question. I was going over the title of the book with my marketing person, and the only way I can describe how I feel when I'm in that state is it's a moment of bliss. And, you know, bliss can be found in any moment. But that moment where I feel that connection, when I'm listening to music, when I'm cooking, or when I'm listening to music, when I'm writing, that's where I was able to recognize that's the space of bliss for me. The space, you know, the bliss place could be a garden for somebody, or working on something that they enjoy, or whatever it is that they like to do. But, you know, it's that recognition of this is the bliss place for me. So I feel very blissed out when I'm cooking. So that's the only way I could describe it, is bliss. And it's just recognizing that space, you know, just taking that moment to realize it can happen anywhere. And just, you know, saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm really happy right now. You know, I'm feeling this amazing thing. And that, to me, is bliss. And it may not last forever. It may last forever. It could last a week. It could last a day. Like I say in the end of the book, it could be any number of places and things that you find bliss in. But this is where I found it. And that's how I came up with the title.
Excellent. Well, that's a very, very interesting way to look at it, and I appreciate that. I know that all of us have words that may not make sense to anybody else, but they make sense to us. And then, of course, once we explain it to other people, then they understand it, and they then to incorporate that word. That's how words get created in our society. You know, all of the words that we have now that are a part of Webster and everybody else's dictionaries were not there, but somebody came up with it. Somebody else said, I like that. And so I am certain that by the end of this year, Laurel Herman, blissed out will be a part of the new vocabulary, especially in the New Thought community. Because, you know, we are always looking for things that are different and stuff that we can bring into our experience to make it happen. I want to bring Carrie Kelly into this experience and ask her to please share with us what her thoughts are relative to what we're talking about and what all is going on. Miss Carrie, how are you?
I am doing awesome. Thank you so much. I am very excited about the Blissed Out Chef. This book has me, you know, actually contemplating being in the kitchen as a cook more than just to shovel some food into my face, you know?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm interested in now that I have little people with me, how do I get my little 5 and 7 year old granddaughters to like vegetables? you know, they think that the vegetables in a salad came from the tree, and why are we trying to feed them the leaves that grow on the trees, and that's not good, and it's an interesting conversation.
Well, one of the things you can do is make them a smoothie, and you add fruit in it. If you make them a smoothie, and you put all kinds of wonderful fruit, bananas, and almond milk, or whatever coconut milk they can drink, and add a little bit of green. Just add a little bit of green. It doesn't have to be a lot, and you know they don't even realize that they're drinking vegetables. It's like it becomes like a special treat.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just one thing. And the other thing is just like let the kids get in the kitchen and make a mess. I mean, just make a mess. You know.
Oh, they will really love that.
I think that's really important. I work with a family that homeschools their children. I talk about it in the book. And these three young ladies are the most amazing children, and each one of them has learned kitchen skills. And my job when I go there is for, if we're doing a 3 or 4 course meal, is to have each child be in charge of one dish so that they can feel that they're making a real contribution to it. And, you know, say that, you know, whatever it is, Lucy or whatever is in charge of this dish, and Jimmy is in charge of another dish or whatever. But and we all work around the dish together, and then we taste it. And when we taste it, we're like jumping up and down. You know, when I go to their house, I'm like Mary Poppins. I have a little bag full of, like a wicker bag full of all kinds of stuff, and I just pull out the stuff, and it becomes a magic experience. And it's got to be fun. So much fun. And it's starter. And Carrie, for you, there's a section in the book called Intuitive Cooking, which is an exercise in trust. It's got absolutely no measurements in anything. I just have an ingredient list. It just has an ingredient list of you know, everything that's in the recipe, and I sort of walk you through it by saying, well, now do this, add a pinch of this, add a pinch of that, taste it, see if you like it. If you want more, add more. And it's just a trust exercise for people who don't like to cook or are afraid of not succeeding, to trust that whatever you make is going to come out just fine.
Yeah, you just turned me loose with a list of ingredients and no measurement. It surely will be an exercise in trust for whoever's supposed to eat it.
I've got for you. You can't fail. You absolutely can't fail. And once you realize that, it won't be an issue anymore. I promise you. Try it. There's some really easy things in there.
Listening to that, ladies, I got to tell you, there was a piece in one of the New Thought metaphysical movies, and this little person was just so excited about doing something different. And at one point, the gentleman that she was talking to said, well, you know what? And she said, I got to do it. And he said, okay, well, I just got to trust. I just got to trust it. So I think, Carrie, with the little people, at some point, you just got to trust. Let them go for it, which is what I hear our guests saying. And as they go for it, then all of you will have so much fun, and you color outside of the box and go outside of the lines. And you've done that throughout this book, this phenomenal book that you have written, and I want to quote for you, if I may, and I know you appreciate these folks. That's why they're at the front of your book, Fred and Elliot, Food Styling and Photography. And they say, Laurel, we first met Laurel last summer at the Mid-Atlantic Food Writer Symposium in a small workshop of like-minded enthusiasts of the beauty in food and words. And so it seemed to be kismet when we got a call a year later about shooting some images for her upcoming book, a cookbook of sorts. Yes, of course, this cookbook would have recipes, but the words and the thought behind them accompanying these recipes are what really call this project to attention. Laurel has brought self-reflection, trials, errors, chaos, perfection, past, future, humor, heartache, and most prominently, passion into this book, and thusly, her food. Fred and I couldn't have found a better creative collaboration for our visual images, use of color and light, than with Laurel's beautiful food created with brightness and love. Fred and Elliot, Food Styling and Photography. And as a professional photographer myself, I very much appreciated the beauty and the stylistic charm of what was done. So, Laurel, share with us how it was for you and how this made things come about working with these folks, please.
I have to tell you, this was one of the most extraordinary, emotional about this, extraordinary experiences I've ever had in my life. I went down to Elliot's father's house, went to his house for the photography, and they have a whole room of props that they use to choose from. Some things are from the Civil War. I mean, it's just incredible. And it's beautiful old kitchen with a butcher block countertop and a Wolf stove. And I mean, it was the most exquisite thing. I almost cried. I sat on the couch and cried, you know, when I got in there. And they said, we want you to know that this kitchen is yours for the next few days. Mm. And I was beside myself. And just watching them set up, I have pictures on my Facebook page of how they set up the camera, how we set up the shots. And you know that I've been in touch with a woman named Denise Vivaldo, who we met at the Food Writer Symposium, who is like one of the world's best food stylists, and we did a master class with her. And her and I have been in touch about about this book. But Elliot, you know, food styling is often they add chemicals and things to make the food look pretty. The food in this book has been absolutely pure and untouched by any chemicals. Every single thing was edible, and it was amazing. The last picture of the chicken tagine, it happened to be Elliot's birthday, and we also made the flourless chocolate cake. And it was just the images were just amazing, what they were able to do with it, and how just putting a little droplet of salad dressing on a wooden board, how that stands up, or the pictures of the pesto where the basil and the garlic, I mean, things just jump off the page. It was just an incredible experience working with them, and food photography is expensive, and when I wasn't able to do the last picture, I couldn't be there for one, and I decided to do one more picture for my coworker, because we've worked together for 10 years, and believe me, that is a working relationship. It's like a work marriage. And I said, I have to honor this man. So he gave me a recipe for the mango salsa, and I sent the recipe to Fred and Elliot, and I didn't even have to be there. And I think if you saw it on the page, it is the most unbelievable food photograph I've ever seen. And they sent it back to me, and I just fell in love with everything that they did. And I felt like they read my heart through the photograph.
Mm-hmm.
They totally got it. Mm-hmm. It was to me, it was a very, I don't know if you want to call it intimate experience of
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure.
creative
sure.
process of the three of us working together and me in the kitchen and her putting some things together for me, like putting the raspberries on the cake and everything. It was one of the most extraordinary experiences of my life.
Absolutely.
It really was.
And there is spiritual intimacy, Laurel, as well as other forms of intimacy. But spiritual intimacy means that I respect who it is that you are. I respect your sacred space, and I am grateful and thankful that you are allowing me to walk into your space, and I am now allowing you to walk into mine as well. And so I am an open and responsive and receptive vehicle to share and to receive. And that is why the images in this beautiful, beautiful book, The Blissed Out Chef by Laurel Herman, that is the why that it is where it is. I want to go to a couple of our callers now, because I want to get to these folks before we run out of time. And I want to also let you all know that Laurel will be back again, okay? But I want for you to get your questions in now, if you will. I have an 856-904 number, and I'd like to bring you in to the quest of conversation, because you did hit your button. Good evening, 856-904. How are you, and would you give us your first name, please?
I'm fine. My first name is Leslie, and I just wanted to congratulate Laurel on the book. And I just wanted to ask, how did you come up with the music that you incorporated into the book and for the recipes?
Well, first of all, let me say, Robert, Leslie and I have known each other since we were 4 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
He's truly my oldest friend. The oldest friend.
Yeah.
How did I come up with the music for it? I think I wanted to use music that was inspiring to me. I like to find music that brings out deep emotion in myself when I hear a song. I really get attached to it, and I listen to it like probably 100 times until it sinks very, very deep into myself, and I feel not just the words. I understand every note, even if I don't understand it, I feel it. And if it evokes an emotion in me that is, I feel love, or I feel like crying, or it's so beautiful that it brings tears to my eyes, that's how I find the music. Or sometimes I'm just scanning through YouTube or Pandora's, Pandora Radio, and I hear something that strikes me, and that I just get stuck on it. Sometimes I'll listen to it for a week or two straight. I mean, just constantly. And, so even if I don't understand it from a musical level, my soul understands it, because music is a fifth-dimensional food. And that really beautiful music that evokes emotion and makes you cry and makes you feel love and brings out all those things, that is the music that lives in that pure space of fifth-dimensional love. And that's how you know it's the right thing. And that's the best way I can answer it.
A wonderful answer. Leslie, let me ask you to stand by for a moment, because I'm going to leave your microphone open and then let you follow up. But first of all, Laurel, people may be under the impression that they open this book and all of a sudden out of it comes music. So why don't you share the part that music plays and what you have to say about music and how to choose music that is a part of the book, so people will understand Leslie's question, please.
Okay, well, the best way, what I did was I cataloged all the music in the book. Like I put for most chapters, I paired music with a particular chapter, or I paired music with a particular recipe, like you would pair wine with a particular food. And then I cataloged everything, and I put everything on Spotify, and I also put everything on YouTube, that if you went to the YouTube playlist and typed in the Blissed Out Chef, all the songs would come up. And if you go on my new website, theblissedoutchef.com, and you go to the music section, it will have all those songs listed there. And you go to the link at the bottom, and you press the link, and it takes you immediately to the music. So you can virtually listen to the music while you're reading the book, which is actually, when you listen to the music while you're reading it, it doesn't become a book, it becomes an experience. And then it sinks in on a much deeper level. You know, everything, as you know, Robert, everything has its levels of understanding and feeling. You know, when you listen to the music with it, it just, it just takes it to a different place.
Absolutely. So, Leslie, let me now come back to you and ask you to go ahead and share the second part of your statement and or question, because I wanted for our listening audience to understand a couple of things. Number one, the importance of music to food. I mean, and for me, the two are synonymous. Music and food and friends and family, all of those go together. And so for me, there's always, because the people that I am with at all times are people that are smart enough to like the same music I do. And I'm smart enough to like the same music that they do. And the same thing pretty much holds true for food and other things. That's why we're friends, because our similarities outweigh our differences. But Leslie, let me come back to you now and let you follow up with the second part of what you were about to say, please.
Well, I was just going to say how proud I am and how much I wish Laurel good luck, and that I love her, and that I know that this book is going to be an inspiration and a great success.
Thank you so much. I love you too.
Okay.
I'll get to see you in a few weeks.
Okay. I will.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Leslie. Please stand by, though. We don't want for you to leave us. Please stand by. I'm going to turn your microphone off. So that if you say anything disparaging about the host, that we won't hear that part. But I want for you to stay with us and stand by, because we have another caller on the line, and I want to get to these callers even before I get to my question and the question of my co-host, Carrie Kelly. So area code 613-876. Good evening. Welcome to the No Show. And please share with us your first name and what question you might have for and or statement relative to the Blissed Out Chef and Laurel Herman. Good evening.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. My name is Lee Burton, and I'm also a friend of Laurel's, and I wanted to call in, and I have a comment, more or less. I was going to ask a question about the music, but her friend before me asked that question. So that's okay. That's good. But I think I wanted to mention something really, really important. One of the things that I'm very excited about witnessing Laurel do this project and putting this together is that, you know, we live in a society now where food is taken for granted, you know, and we also live in a society where more and more people are becoming practicing awareness. And, you know, what you say is what you might get back and in your environment. But we don't, too many people take for granted that the food part of our day is not just to nourish us and give us the energy to keep racing through our crazy busy day. What we put into that food makes sense that it's going to come back to us with what we put into it, you know, and I never even realized that until I met Laurel. And that, you know, so that's mildly embarrassing, but it's true. And I feel so gifted that she gave me the opportunity to recognize that. I mean, we look at society and there's, you know, people are trying to be conscious of what they eat. They're trying to be conscious of how it's raised and whether or not they're eating gluten. And there's so many other things that they consider. But we still go on with thinking that it's, first of all, our right, and secondly, it's something that is just meant to keep us racing through our day and what have you. And I'm looking forward to the chance that this book is going to bring some families back together or some couples back together or even a brother and a sister to sit at the table and enjoy themselves. Maybe not have something to talk about, just look at each other and love each other because they did something wonderful together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
I came up with a quick...
Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay, good. No, I came up with a quick idea of a question that I could ask Laurel, if you don't mind, Laurel.
Go ahead.
When do you plan to, like, now that this is out and it's published, and I ordered my copy today, by the way, very exciting, yay.
Thanks.
Can't wait to get that. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering when you're going to start the Blissed Out Chef for kids.
Wow.
Second time you've heard that question tonight, huh? Excellent, please.
Wow,
I think so.
Well, you know, I did start a children's series, and I sort of put that on hold because I just felt like it wasn't the time, and then this came out. I don't know how that's going to show up, honestly. I have a whole bunch of silly food poems for kids that are cute that I might pair with some recipes. I just don't know. That's been on the back burner, but it's something really... really to think about, and now you've got me thinking.
I was at your website and I saw the aprons, the Blissed Out Chef aprons, and the soup cup, which is fantastic. I got to get my hands on that, and it just inspired me to go, wait a second, that'd be great, having the Blissed Out Chef for Kids book.
Blissed Out Kids. And I would really like to see parents get in the kitchen with their kids, and not just get in with their kids, but also get in there also with each other so their children can see them cooking together. I would like to see parents be more affectionate in the kitchen so their children could see that. I know I'm not answering your question because I don't have an answer for it yet. I would just like to see more family involvement in the kitchen. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, there's no such thing. I mean, if you saw what I ate for dinner half the time, you would be very, very unimpressed. It's probably very, very simple. It doesn't have to be an enormous effort or a big, intense recipe or anything. It just has to be togetherness. And I think kids learn that first. If they see that the relationship dynamics are healthy,
yeah,
I think that's the first.
That's right.
I think the first place to start.
That's right. That's right. That is, an awesome place to start. Lee, let me interrupt you for a moment because we've got a couple of other folks on the line that want to also ask questions, and I'm going to come back to you in a moment, Lee, as well, but I want to make certain that we get everybody in. One of the questions that has come from the internet for you, Laurel Herman, is relative to this same type of situation. And so I think that we remember, and when I saw this question, the first thing that I thought about was the commercial where everybody comes home and the electricity is off. And so Dad says, wow, isn't that something? Okay, so he goes into the garage and grabs the charcoal and brings out lanterns and then makes light for everybody. And then Mom goes in and grabs a salad, and the kids go in and they grab chicken and turkey hot dogs, and everybody comes back out and they're sitting down around this wooden picnic table that has been in their yard for thousands of years that they haven't used in at least thousands of years. And they are having a ball. They are having a good time with each other. And then all of a sudden somebody says, wow, this is so awesome. You know what? We should do this even if the lights don't go out. So let's plan that. And Dad says, okay, great. Let's do that. When would you all like to do it? And they say, next week. Let's do it next week on Monday and Tuesday. Dad says, okay, great. We'll do that. So then all of the kids get up and they go inside, and Mom walks over to Dad, and then Dad walks into the garage and he flips the switch up on the generator that allows all of the lights to come back on. So all of this time, he has been very much aware that he was in control of the light situation, but what he wanted to do was bring his family together. So the question for you, Laurel Herman, is does food bring families together? And if so, then how do we continue and keep families coming together, which is also very similar to what Lee was sharing with us? How do we keep things together? And is there anything in the Blissed Out Chef book that was released today and is available at Amazon.com and other places right now for those of you online and those of you on the phone? But we want for you to stay with us before you go to order it, okay? Is there anything in your book, Laurel Herman, that you can point to that addresses this situation?
Absolutely. In my chapter on, I have a chapter called "The Family That Deals Together." The family that peels together heals together, and I talk about respect. You know, I just finished a class on soulmates, which has nothing to do. You know, it's sort of a man woman thing on soulmates. But the question was asked, what is more important, love or respect? And I think the way to bring people together is respect, because one of the issues that I hear from a lot of people is, I can't stand eating with my family. They don't eat the way I do. They don't understand the way I eat. I eat differently. I have to have special food. I can't stand watching them eat garbage. And I think the first thing to do is we have to just zip the lip and just pause for a minute and respect that the other person has a right, whether we agree with them or not, to eat the way they do. They may be in whatever place in their consciousness that they are. We have to respect it. If they want to make a change and they want to eat like us, or they want to eat a certain way, then fine. It's fine to offer, you know, constructive advice or constructive, you know, input. But I think it begins and ends with respect. I think if we don't respect what each other eats, you know, if you can't have something and you're going to a party, you know, can I bring something that I can eat? So that, mm-hmm. you know, the important thing is that you sit down at the table or around the room together. It's not really important so much what it is that you're eating. Mm-hmm. It's important that you do it together. And I think if we can respect what our family members may want or need to do differently than us. And that goes for the opposite side, for the part of the family that doesn't understand the person that's on a special diet or on a special protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should be respecting everybody else. And
right.
I think that is a, you know, the question of what comes first, love or respect. I think if you respect each other first, then you can love each other. Sometimes you love people and you don't respect them. You don't even like them, but you love them. But if you respect
mm-hmm.
them, then the love can build in the family.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Very well said. And you're building the fabric of the familial network. You're building an inner resource for that family, that space and time and challenges and lack of money will never, ever take its place, because even when the family has challenges that are challenging to it, they can still come together and they will remember when things get better how it was when they had this opportunity. I want you to stand by, Laurel Herman, author of The Blissed Out Chef. That's what we're talking about this evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we have a number of folks that are online with us. We're so pleased that you decided to stop by here, to stop by the No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. It is my pleasure to host opportunities like this with my dear friend Laurel Herman and so many others. And every week we have big fun just like this. So we invite you on Wednesdays to set your clocks, set your timer, and stop back and see what's going on the No Show. We know that you will be pleased that you did. And this is the RBR Network. This is the RBR Network of shows. And on Monday, we have the Cosmic Contact Show at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by Pam Drennan in Seattle, Washington. Pam specializes in programs that have successfully drawn numerous callers for her psychic guest. Her heart wall practice has been very, very well received. On Tuesdays, we have the Night Search Show at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. All of our shows are Central Standard Time and come out of Memphis, Tennessee. And by the way, while I'm sharing that, let me also thank my awesome RBR director, Cecil McDaniel, who worked diligently in order to help us to get this show up tonight. All right, because things, as they sometimes will do in the electronics world, go awry. And they did that today. And yet, had it not been for his support and his help and his guidance, we would not be on the air right now. And can you imagine having missed all of this, and still we have plenty more minutes to come? So I want to just take a moment to express my gratitude to Cecil for showing up in the way that he did. And, of course, this is the No Show. This is 7 p.m. Central Standard Time until 8 p.m., and my name is Robert McMillan. So that's on Wednesday for us. All right. So on let me go back to Tuesday, though, because the Night Search Show at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time is hosted by Eddie Middleton from Memphis, Tennessee, and Justin Abner from Orlando, Florida. All right. We want for you to catch that one as well. Immediately after this show, 30 minutes post the No Show, the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program is on at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time and is hosted by our dear friend James Renford Powell from Memphis, Tennessee. This program was created to provide the commentary on the support material, which is sent out each week for 54 weeks to those who purchase the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. So if you feel that there's a little something lacking in terms of your personal wealth, you want to listen to the shows that James is putting on, because I assure you, you have some good stuff there. That's 8:30 tonight. You can come right back, use the same number. If you want to run off, grab a quick bite to eat, pick up Laurel's book while you're doing that. Go ahead to Amazon.com and get that, and then come back and be a part of that show as well. On Thursday, we have the Progressive News Weekly show at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by Daryl Clark from New York. This is one of the longest running shows, which was on another network, and then they became smart, and so they switched over to the right network. Daryl's guests have included well-known personalities, such as my dear friend out of Washington, D.C., Mr. Dick Gregory, and many, many others. The moderator and co-host of that program is the gentleman I was mentioning earlier. Maybe missing him, too, before, but not missing him now, Cecil McDaniel. So please, please, please check that out. The Searchers Roadmap Show at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time is hosted by Rhonda Harrison from Red Feathers Lakes, Colorado. The Searchers Roadmap was the first RBR show and thus is the longest running show. Rhonda is a healer and a shaman, and she often hosts shamans from around the world at her home 9,000 feet up the mountains of Colorado. I have been on Rhonda's show, and it was big, big, big fun. All right, the Dream Vision 7 show at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, again on Thursdays, is hosted by Deborah Bouvet from Boston, Mass. Deborah controls a network which broadcasts from an NBC station in Boston and from the Internet. Her network is made up of over 100 hosts with a listener base in over 125 countries. Saturday, okay, is Soul Town, The Sound of Music, broadcast at 3 p.m., hosted from Memphis, Tennessee by Reginald Jennings, a founding member and CEO of Soundtown Records after the closure of Stax Records in Memphis. And all of us probably remember Sam and Dave. I know you guys are going to pretend that you're too young. I knew you did. I was just going to wait and see if you would go ahead and admit it. But that's right. I knew that you knew Sam and Dave and all those other folks too. And then on Sunday, the Dream Vision 7 Sunday show at 3 p.m., again, hosted by Deborah Bouvet, or one of her hosts from Boston, Mass. So the bottom line, guys, is that we have a whole lot of good stuff going on right here, and we want for you to be a part of it and to come back and check in with us again and again and again. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. This is The No Show. Our guest this evening is Miss Laurel Herman. She is the brand new author of a brand new book called The Blissed Out Chef. And so as we come back, for those of you who joined us recently and didn't get a chance to hear what was said earlier, Laurel, I want for you to come back and share where you got the impetus for the name, The Blissed Out Chef, and what that is all about, please.
Well, as I said earlier, it's really just a state of, I don't know if I want to say it, mind, because we all know how, like, mind gets you into trouble. It's your heart. It's really more like a state of heart. How do we say that? I've never said that before. It's a state of heart where you feel bliss, that you don't feel any other, there's no issues going on. There's just no no problems, no chatter, none of that stuff that we all tend to do. You just feel bliss. You just feel that moment of happiness, whether it's a moment, like I said, it could be more than a moment. It's that recognition of that place of oneness. And that's what I feel when I get into the kitchen and I cook with music or I write or I'm in a creative space. And it's just a higher... when you feel that you're working with your higher self. And that is bliss. That chocolate cake is also bliss. It's just, there's so many things. That, you know, the wonderful thing about this is that I've been doing this for over 45 years, and it never ceases to amaze me I even wrote about this, when something comes out of the oven and it's all puffy and it's beautiful, it's never boring to me. Even if it's the same thing I do over and over and over again, it's kind of like Groundhog Day, you know, the same beautiful sunset, and every day you say, oh, my God, what a beautiful sunset. It's the same thing for me when something like souffle comes out. I make these little souffles for everybody at work that, you know, when I have a little bit of extra stuff left over from a quiche, I make a souffle for breakfast. A little tiny thing, but it puffs up beautifully. And to me, that's bliss. And something mm-hmm. that's beautiful, or when something, you know, that moment you taste something, or when you create something, it's bliss. It's amazing.
Excellent. Excellent. I like that a lot. Let's go back to our phone lines here, because this person has really, really been extremely patient. If it's a man, then he has the patience of Job. If it's a woman, then she has the patience of Jobetta. But whoever it is, we want to say good evening, area code 516-242. Thank you so, so very much for being so patient and tolerant in waiting. And so we know that whatever it is that you have to say is very important. 516-242, good evening. How are you? Okay. All right. Well, perhaps she left for, or he left for a moment to go and then come back another time. They did indicate by pushing one on their phone that they did have something to say. But as all of us sometimes have to do, we step away for a moment. And that's perfectly okay and understandable. I'll come back in just a moment and ask 516-242, are you there? Do you have a comment or a question for our guest, Laurel Herman, this evening? Good evening. How are you? Okay. All right. So we'll come back in just a moment and check on them again and see if they have returned. Let me go back to Carrie Kelly for a moment. And before I share the question that came from the Internet, Carrie, in hearing this information and in looking through Laurel Herman's book, The Blissed Out Chef, what thoughts came up for you, and did you find any recipes that you say, oh, yeah, I got to go with this one? Carrie, what are your thoughts in terms of what is happening here, what is going on, and how it is that you can use this information to make your family love you even more, if that's possible?
Well, they usually love me better when I stay out of the kitchen and leave the cooking to other people. But I did see a salmon recipe that looked really good, and I'm actually considering getting brave enough to do that trust exercise in the kitchen, because that way I can have help and have my little people help me, and I'll put them in charge of certain ingredients, and that way, we can spread the love however it turns out, you know. When we get the finished product, I can say that it wasn't just me that cooked it.
I'll do one better for you. You call me when you're making it, and we'll do it together. How's that?
Oh,
that's great.
Oh yeah, that'd be
great.
One of the things, Robert, I wanted to talk about quickly was, I mean, having a sense of humor in the kitchen. I can't tell you how many things I've burnt, how many restaurants, I did burn once, I burnt a restaurant down once. you know, I mean, it's funny now. It wasn't funny at the time.
I bet it wasn't.
What? It wasn't funny. No, I
lost
my job.
I bet it was not funny. That's right.
No, I got fired, but I became an instant celebrity. So, but, I mean, funny things happen all the time in the kitchen. I mean, I drop things. You know, sometimes you put something in the blender and the smoothie goes on the ceiling. There's all kinds of funny things that happen, and they usually happen in the middle of a very busy rush, lunch service. So you don't have time to get angry at it. You just, they're fine. I mean, they're
mm-hmm.
fine.
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And the thing to remember to keep a sense of humor is, If something doesn't come out right or you think you messed up, I mean, there's no such thing as messing up, you know. You just have fun with it, and
mm-hmm.
that's the important thing to know. It's for me, it's routine and it's very easy, but for a lot of people, it's very stressful, and I don't want it to be stressful. I want it to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, I just think it's important to mention, keep a sense of humor.
Absolutely. Here we have another question from the internet for you, Laurel, and that is, has being a commercial chef helped you, and if so, how?
Absolutely. When I started as a younger person in my 20s, I talk about this in the book, I went to work in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan, and I had to travel an hour and a half each way. I think if you have a passion for something, you don't give up on it. You just don't give up on it. Something in you doesn't allow you that to happen. What's helped me the most in being in the kitchen professionally is you have to work with other people. You have to get along with other people. Sometimes that doesn't happen. You meet all different kinds of personalities. I'm in all different kinds of situations. Some of them are catering halls. This one place in Manhattan was Joe Allen's. It's a big restaurant in the theater district. We used to get 600 people in on Wednesdays for lunch for the theater matinee. It was crazy. And I was the only woman in a kitchen of 30 men. And, when I walked in and, the bakers were from Harlem, the line cooks were from the Dominican Republic. They were from all over the world. I met these fellas. And at first they kind of made a face when I came in the door, but the chef kind of took me under his wing. And I went to the hospital a lot because I cut myself. And I did whatever they asked me to do, I did. And, they would send me into the basement to fill eclairs and hundreds of things. And I just didn't quit. And, after a while, they began to respect me. And I looked at them as they were like uncles. You know what I mean? They were very protective. And you just get to meet all different kinds of people working in a kitchen situation. Sometimes you work with people that yell, and it's just learning how to deal with all different kinds of situations. And the most important thing, I think, one of the most important things about working in a professional kitchen is you have to think on your feet. If you have a busy lunch and five people are asking for something at the same time, you have a certain order. There's that order. I talk about perfection and chaos in the book. There's this, perfection in the chaos of that crazy 20 minutes that you're going through. It's absolutely glorious time. I call that super dancing in the kitchen when you're in that flow and you're just bam, bam, bam. You're doing one thing after another and doing one thing after another and just getting the orders out. And there's a kind of magic about it. And
absolutely.
I have to tell you, it's a real buzz. It's a real
excellent
buzz.
Let me ask you to do this for me, Laurel, because we have about a minute left, and I want for you to give your contact info out and your website so people will know how to contact you, how to get the book, and so forth. Please, share that now.
Okay, great. I have a fabulous new website with all kinds of great things on there, www.theblissedoutchef.com. Go there, have a look around. There's lots of interesting things there, all kinds of new things that you've never seen on any other website before. The book can be bought on Amazon.com. Just go to Amazon and type in the Blissed Out Chef, and it should come right up.
Excellent. That's a good thing.
And if anybody wants to email me, it's laurel@theblissedoutchef.com.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much, and I want to thank all of the people that tuned in and had questions to ask, and all of the people that didn't have questions to ask. We have been blessed with the Blissed Out Chef with Miss Laurel Herman this evening. This is The No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. Next week, we invite you to come back when Joshua Lee will be here with us sitting in the midst of the hot seat and enjoying your questions as well. Every week we try to bring people back who are important for you and with information that is good for you. There's nothing more important than sitting with your family around your table and having an awesome dinner. Your children will remember it for a lifetime to come. Go out, get the Blissed Out Chef, and be happy. Take care, everybody. Thank you, Laurel. Thank you, everybody. God bless. We'll see you next week. All right. Take care now. We're out of here. Goodbye.
Bye.